Hello everyone, I'm George Reminder. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. I'm talking about the Russo-Ukrainian war, assuming it began 24th of February 2022. Of course, you could go back 8 years earlier than that. But we'll look at the full-scale war since Russia attempted to conquer the whole of the country and not just Donetsk, Crimea, and Luhansk oblasts. All right, so a couple of weeks ago, it passed that grim milestone when it has been longer than the First World War. Now, when did the First World War begin? You could go back from 28th of July, when Austria-Hungary proclaimed war against the Kingdom of Serbia. Other countries, it begins a bit later. I'm not going to go by sort of the US definition where it begins in 1917. So, wow, it's, you know, longer, obviously much longer than the Soviet Union fought the Second World War. Not much longer, a bit longer. Yeah, the only one in the 20th century that the Soviet Union fought that was longer was the Afghanistan conflict. Of course, that wasn't a war. It was there just in their internationalist duty, a bit like this so-called special military operation, which the Kremlin persists in claiming is not a war, threatening people with up to 14 years in prison for telling the plain truth. And obviously, it's not going well for Russia. And at the moment, the initiative is passed to the Ukrainians. Now, the Ukrainians have serious problems as well, but they're not taking the terrible casualties they were. They can be more cautious, try and spare their personnel. Obviously, they can't afford oil for fatalities and injuries and so forth, but they are willing to concede ground if they can preserve their lives. They can make the Russians pay a very heavy price, and the Russians haven't found a way to counter these great strides in drone warfare the Ukrainians have made, you know, necessity being the mother of invention. And the in the Ukrainian military manufacturing sector saying, if it works, build it, that's it. Not like in countries at peacetime, you have to go through several layers of bureaucracy, tweaking, political decision-making, agonizing about it, I mean, maybe being lawyered as well, and be too much bean counting, because this is a war of survival. Ukrainians are just doing it. They're doing it on the hoof, and they're succeeding. And they've now got this impressive military manufacturing sector, and Western countries are coming to them for training, want to buy their military technology. And when the war ends, Ukraine can still continue this military production at maximum capacity, because there's a very hungry market for it. It's all battlefield tested. But the Russians are still moving forward, but at a glacial pace in the Donbass, slower than ever before, around Pokrovsk in the center of Donetsk Oblast, trying to get a few, hamlets there, too small even to call villages, you know, really just going a few meters here and there and paying a high price for it, because you just can't be hidden. There are first-person drones, other drones, loitering drones everywhere. And then if they are there, how are you going to get rations, munitions to them, fuel for vehicles, because the Ukrainians are blowing those up? They like to go for fuel trucks because it creates such a big explosion and it's going to kill anybody around it. And obviously so much of warfare is mechanized these days. And, you know, some vehicles, obviously tanks, armored personnel carriers, offer some protection against vehicles with that anti-drone netting, whereas soft-skinned vehicles, you've really got no chance. And they can't obviously have these mass attacks, these meat attacks going forward and two or three or whatever into a house when they feel there's enough of them to go on somewhere else and so on. So that's one of the reasons they're so slow. And obviously they don't have initiative. They're obviously not meeting the casualty level in terms of replacement. So losing something like 35,000 a month, recruiting 30,000 a month, if that, that'd be 60,000 short in a year. So the Russian invasion force might be 660,000 at the beginning of this year. At this rate, be down to 60,000 by the end of the year, and really scraping the bottom of the barrel. The easy to recruit ones, the prisons have been emptied of those who'd be remotely militarily useful, and able-bodied men who've not been conscripted, not volunteered. Why would they? Because Russia can't afford to pay the big bounties to them. Some people have fled abroad in 2022. And okay, some came back, but there's a sense that there might be another general mobilization, call up more reservists and so forth, because that's the only alternative. And Putin, surprisingly, his Victory Day speech, he said that the war was near its end. But there's been no more move on that. No sign they're willing to make concessions to give up their maximalist aims. But they say that Putin only watches one TV channel, which specially curates a broadcast for him. So are they lying to him as a sort of Potemkin village? But how can he believe it? Because, you know, any verifiable information would prove to him the war's been going for over 4 years, and you only control about 20% of Ukraine. And you control about 10% of Ukraine before the war began. And your maximum point of penetration was maybe towards the end of April 2022, and then had to retreat. So, yeah. Gained in some sectors, lost in some sectors, a net gain of maybe 0.1% this year so far for ever higher casualties. Also trying to move forward in the Kostyantivnica Tarets corridor, I hope I pronounced that correctly. And this is where Russia is having some success. Getting into the fortress belt, there's a gray zone, sometimes it's not clear. Does Russia dominate this? Does Ukraine dominate? They're all mixed in together. A very close quarters fighting, and they can't tell friend from foe. And obviously, drone operators are a bit reluctant to kill troops because they might be killing their own side. They can't tell who's who all the time. Or they genuinely do kill some of the enemy, but some of their own forces are so close by, they get killed or wounded as well. So they're rediscovering the hugging tactics of the Second World War to try and be close, so close to the enemy that the enemy can't use artillery against you for fear of hitting his own side. And so it goes on. All right. So the Ukrainians are worried about that. I'm surprised they don't prioritize that. Say, let's leave off the oil refineries for a while and we'll really hammer the Russians there and we'll save Kostyantivnica and we'll cause very high casualties to them. Liman, that sector in the northern part of Donetsk Oblast. So some advances there, hampered by the rivers a little bit. Trimbu push on towards Slavyansk and Dobropilia. Okay, so they've had limited success there at quite a high cost, trying to come around behind Pokrovsk. So these are their few pressure points, but they're having real trouble keeping the land bridge to Crimea over, the Kerch Strait Bridge. And yeah, I was going to say, you could say it started in 2014. Yes, that's that. The Russian, a very limited war, just trying to take Donetsk and Lugansk, and all these years later they still haven't done it 12 years later, and then obviously lying and lying and lying, send the Russian army there, which it most blatantly was. And even Russia said, well, some Russian soldiers there, but they're not as Russian soldiers, they're volunteers, we've let them go on holiday for a few years to invade a friendly country that they recognize with whom they had diplomatic relations. They did admit that they took over Crimea despite lying and lying and lying about it, and then boasting that they had taken over Crimea. So there is no lie so barefaced they won't tell it. Yeah, and they'll say one thing that's the direct opposite the next day, just utterly shameless, unblushing lies, endlessly told. Nothing is too obviously false. Nothing is too, too stupid a lie for them to tell. So they're making very little progress. They're paying quite a heavy price, real shortages of petrol in Crimea, so that private vehicles not allowed to have it. That's the end of the summer season. Believe it or not, even though it's a war zone, some people have been going on holiday. Well, that's their tourist industry is reduced to almost nil. How much longer do you think this war will go on? It needs to end. Do you think Ukraine will lose? Good question. To mostly define by lose, I don't see them getting all of their territory back. Until recently, I didn't see any chance to get to Crimea back. Now I see a slight chance to get Crimea back. I think we've still got a couple of years to go, maybe more. That people say we're not even halfway through. It might be down to sort of a low-level conflict, like for 8 years the Donetsk-Lugansk conflict was in East Ukraine. But to end totally, obviously Putin's so untrustworthy. No matter what he signs, swear a stack of Bibles or whatever, he could, when he reckons advantageous, could start it again. Would it only end with his overthrow or death? The Ukraine is hitting the Russian refineries. Russia had a bit of an economic fillip from this war in against Iran, launched by Israel and the United States. That seems to be ending. Oil and gas prices are going down. That's bad news for Russia. Surprised Russia didn't try more to prolong that war. Russia's not having great deal of success, and the costs are very high. And so Putin might be driven to take a decision more extreme than he'd like to, and that's a mass call-up of troops. But people know they've been sent to Ukraine is little more than a death sentence. Not many of them come back, certainly unwounded. So they're having real difficulty. But, you know, I don't see the Ukrainians having a huge breakthrough. Russians really don't. Even when they do break Ukrainian lines, they don't have enough troops, they don't have enough tanks to move fast to actually exploit it before the Ukrainians are able to rebuild their lines. Ukraine is also outsourcing recruiting foreign volunteers. A few Ukrainians are going to get killed, offering, you know, salaries of a couple of $1,000 a month, which in some or less economic developed countries is very alluring. So that foreigners will do the fighting. Russia's tried this tactic with limited success. And obviously, fewer people are going to Russia. If you get a job in construction or as a security guard, you quite often know that you're going to be press ganged into being just cannon fodder in Ukraine. And people from former Soviet countries like Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, used to be guest workers in Russia a lot, facing so much racism, so many legal restrictions, and such a high chance of being duped, coerced into fighting Ukraine, they're less likely to go than before. So Ukraine's got the upper hand in some ways. I mean, it's still got serious difficulties, but the situation is not critical. Nobody thinks Ukraine's going to collapse this year. You know, last year there was a serious chance of that. Okay, put it this way. What is the chance that Russian troops take Kiev by the end of this year? I put it at 5%, something like that. Anyway, thanks for watching this channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecalan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.